Osho, Vigyan Bhairav Tantra, Volume 2, The Book of the Secrets, A New Commentary, Discourse Number 9, given in Bombay, India.
As I think, as I look in your eyes, I never see you there as if you are absent. You exist absently, and this is the core of all suffering. You can be alive without being at all present, and if you are not present, your existence will become a boredom. And this is what has happened. When I see in your eyes, I don't find you there. You have yet to come. You have yet to be. The situation is there. And the possibility is there. You can be there any moment. But yet you are not. To become aware of this absence, begin the journey towards meditation, towards transcendence. If you are aware that somehow you are missing, you exist, but you don't know why, you don't know how, you don't know even who exists within you. This unawareness creates all suffering. Because unknowingly, whatsoever you do will bring suffering. It is not what you do that is basic. It is whether you do it with your presence or with your absence that is significant. Whatsoever you do, if you can do it with your total presence, your life will become ecstatic. It will be a bliss. If you do something without your presence there, absently, your life will be a suffering, bound to be. Hell means your absence. So there are two types. One type of seeker, always in search what to do. That seeker is on a wrong path, because the question is not of doing at all. The question is being, what to be, how to be. So never think in terms of action and doing. Because whatsoever you do, if you are absent, it will be meaningless. Whether you move in the world or you live in a monastery, whether you function in the crowd or you move to an isolated spot in the Himalaya, will make no difference. You will be absent here and you will be absent there. And whatsoever you do, in the crowd or in the isolation, will bring suffering. If you are not there, then whatsoever you do is wrong. The second type and the right type of seeker is not in search of what to do, he is to be. The first thing is how to be. One man came to Gautam Buddha. He was filled with much compassion, with much sympathy. And he asked Gautam Buddha, "What can I do to help the world?" Buddha is reported to have laughed and said to the man, "You cannot do anything because you are not. How can you do anything when you are not? So don't think of the world. Don't think of how to serve the world, how to help others." Buddha said, "First be. And if you are, whatever you do becomes a service. It becomes a prayer. It becomes compassion. Your presence is the turning point. Your being is the revolution." So these are the two paths, the path of action and the path of meditation. They are diametrically opposite. The path of action is basically concerned with you as a doer. It will try to change your actions. It will try to change your character, your morals, your relationships, but never you. The path of meditation is diametrically opposite, concerned with your action. It is directly and immediately concerned with you. What you do is irrelevant. What you are. And that is basic and primary, because all action springs from you. And remember, your actions can be changed and modified, even can be replaced by diametrically opposite axes, but they are not going to change you. Any outward change will not bring the inner revolution, because the outward is superficial and the innermost core remains untouched. By what you do, it remains untouched. But the versa brings the revolution. If the innermost core is different, the surface automatically changes. So think a basic question. Only then we can enter these techniques of meditation. Don't be concerned what you are doing. That may be a trick. That may be a device to escape from the real problem. You are violent, for example. You can make every effort to be non-violent, thinking that by being non-violent you will become religious. By becoming non-violent, you will come closer to the divine. You are cruel, and you may make every effort to be compassionate. You can do it, and nothing will change, and you will remain the same. And your cruelty will become a part of your compassion, and that is more dangerous. Your violence will become a part of your non-violence. That is more certain. You will be violently non-violent. Your non-violence will have all the madness of violence. And through your compassion, you will be cruel. You can even kill through your compassion. People have killed. So many religious wars, they are fought in the mood of compassion, you can kill very compassionately, very non-violently. Lovingly, you can kill and murder. Because you are killing for the sake, for the person you are killing, you are killing for himself, for his own sake, to help him. You can change your actions, and this effort to change the actions may be just a device to escape the basic change. The basic change is, first you must be. You must become more alert, more conscious of your being. A presence comes to you. You never feel yourself. And even sometimes when you feel through others, through excitement, through stimulation, through reaction. Someone else is needed. And why someone else, you can feel yourself? This is absent. Alone, without excited, without no one there to become a mirror, you fall in asleep. You get bored. You never feel yourself. There is no prison. You live absently. This absent existence is the non-religious mind. To become filled with your own presence, with the light of your own being, you become religious. So remember this as a basic point, that my concern is not with your actions. What you do is irrelevant. What you are, absent, present, aware, unaware, that is my concern. And these techniques we will enter are techniques to make you more present, to bring you here and now. Someone else is needed for you to feel yourself, or the past is needed. Through the past, through past memories, you can feel your identity. Or the future is needed. You can project in your dreams. You can project your ideals, future life, moksha. Either you need past memories to feel that you are, or you need a future projection, or someone else. But you alone are never enough. This is the disease. And unless you alone become enough, nothing will be enough for you. And once you alone become enough unto yourself, you have become victorious. The struggle is over. Now there will be no suffering anymore. A point of no return has come. Beyond this point, there is beatitude, eternal bliss. Before this point, you are bound to suffer. But the whole suffering, strangely, is your own doing. It is a miracle that you create your own suffering. No one else is creating it. If someone else is creating it, then it is difficult to go beyond it. If the world is creating it, then what can you do? But because you can do, it means no one else is creating your suffering. It is your own nightmare. And these are the basic elements of it. The first thing, you go on thinking that you are. You believe that you are. This is simply a belief. You have never encountered yourself. You have never come face to face. You have never met. There have been no meetings. You simply believe that you are. Throw this belief totally. Know well that you are yet to be. You are not. Because with this false belief, you will never be able to transform. On this false belief, your whole life will become false. Gurdjieff used to say to his disciples that don't ask me what to do. You cannot do anything. Because to do something first, you will be needed. And you are not there, so who will do it? You can think about doing, but you cannot do anything. These techniques are to help you. To bring you back. To help you to create a situation in which you can meet yourself. Much will have to be destroyed. All that is wrong. All that is false. And before the real arises, the false must have to leave. It must cease. And these are the false notions that you are. These are the false notions that you are a soul, Atman, you are Brahma. Not that you are not, but these notions are. Gurdjieff has to insist that there is no soul in you. Against all the traditions. He insisted man has no soul. Soul is simply a possibility. It can be, it may not be. It has to be achieved. You are simply a seed. And this emphasis is good. The possibility is there, the potentiality is there, but it is not yet actual. And we go on reading the Gita and the Upanishads and the Bible, and we go on feeling that we are the souls. The seed thinking that it is the tree. The tree is hidden there, but it is yet to be uncovered. And it is good to remember that you may remain a seed and you may die a seed because the tree cannot come, the tree cannot sprout by itself. You have to do something consciously about it because only through consciousness it grows. There are two types of growth. One is unconscious natural growth. If the situation is there, the thing will grow. But Atma, the innermost being, the divine within you, is a different type of growth altogether. It is only through consciousness that it grows. It is not natural, it is supernatural. Left to nature itself, it will not grow. Just left to evolution, it will never evolve. You have to do something consciously. You have to make a conscious effort about it. Because only through consciousness it grows. Once the consciousness is focused there, the growth happens. These techniques are to make you more conscious. Now we will enter the techniques. First technique, in summer, when you see the entire sky endlessly clear, enter such clarity. In summer, when you see the entire sky endlessly clear, enter such clarity. Mind is confusing. There is no clarity. And mind is always crowded. Always cloudy. Never the open sky. Cloudless, empty. Cannot be that. You cannot make your mind clear. That is not the nature of the mind to be so. Mind will remain unclear. If you can leave the mind behind, if you can suddenly transcend the mind and come out of it, clarity will happen to you. You can be clear, but not the mind. There is not such a thing as a clear mind. Never have been and never will be. Mind means the unclarity, the confusion. Try to understand the structure of the mind, and then this technique will be clear to you. What is mind? A continuous process of thought. A continuous processing of thought. Associated, non-associated, relevant, irrelevant. Many multidimensional impressions gathered from everywhere. The whole life is a gathering. Gathering of the dust. And this goes on and on. A child is born. A child is clear because the mind is not there. The moment mind appears, the unclarity, confusion enters. A child is clear, a clarity. But he will have to gather knowledge, information, culture, religion, conditioning, necessary, useful. He will have to gather many things from everywhere, from many sources, opposite, contradictory sources. Thousands and thousands sources he will gather. Then the mind will become a marketplace, a crowd. And because of so many sources, confusion is bound to be there. And whatsoever you gather, nothing is certain. Because knowledge is always a growing affair. I remember someone related an anecdote to me. He was a great surgeon. And he told me that his professor, who taught him for 5 years in the medical college, the professor was the greatest scholar of his subject. The last thing, he gathered his students and told them that one thing more, whatsoever I have taught you is only 50% correct. And the remaining 50% is absolutely wrong. But the trouble is, I don't know which 50% is correct. And which 50% is incorrect, I don't know. The whole edifice of knowledge is such, nothing is certain. No one knows. Everyone is groping. Through groping, we create systems. And there are thousands and thousands of systems. Hindus say things, Christians say something else, Mormons is still something else. All contradictory, all contradicting each other. No agreement, no certainty. And all these sources are the sources for your mind. You collect, your mind becomes a junkyard. Confusion is bound to be there. Only a person who doesn't know much can be certain. The more you know, the more uncertain you will become. People, primitive people, were more certain and appeared apparently to be more clear. There was no clarity. Unawareness of facts which can contradict them. If the modern mind is more confused, the reason is the modern mind knows more. If you know more, you will be more confused because now you have more knowledge. And the more you know, the more uncertain you become. Only idiots can be certain. Only idiots can be dogmatic. Only idiots will never hesitate. The more you know, the more earth is taken away from your feet. More hesitant. What I mean to say, more the mind grows, the more you will know. The nature of the mind is confusion. When I say only idiots can be certain, I don't mean that a Buddha is an idiot, because he is not uncertain. Remember the difference. He is not certain. He is not uncertain. He is simply clear. With the mind, uncertainty. With the idiotic mind, certainty. With no mind, both disappear, certainty and uncertainty. Buddha is a cleric, a space, open space. He is not certain. There is nothing to be certain. He is not uncertain because there is nothing to be uncertain. Only one who is seen can be uncertain. Mind is always uncertain and always seeking certainty. Always confused and always seeking clarity. A Buddha is one who has dropped the mind. And with the mind, all confusion, all certainty, all uncertainty, everything is dropped. Look at it in this way. Your consciousness is just like the sky. And your mind is just like the clouds. The sky remains untouched by the clouds. They come and go. No scar is left behind. The scar remains virgin. No records, footprints, nothing of the clouds, no memory. They come and they go. The sky remains undisturbed. This is what is the case within you also. The consciousness remains undisturbed. Thoughts come and go. Minds evolve and disappear. And don't think that you have one mind. You have many minds. It is a crowd. Your minds go on changing. You are a communist. So you have a certain type of mind. You can leave it. And you can become anti-communist. Then you have a different mind. Not only different, quite the opposite. You can go on changing your mind just like your dress. And you go on changing, you may not be aware about it. These clouds come and go. Clarity can be achieved if you become aware of the sky. If your focus changes, you are focused on the clouds if you focus on the sky. Unfocus on the clouds and focus on the sky. This technique says, in summer, when you see the entire sky endlessly clear, enter such clarity. Meditate on the sky, a summer sky, with no clouds, endlessly empty and clear, nothing moving in its total virginity. Contemplate on it. Meditate on it. And enter this clarity. Become this clarity. This is space-like clarity. If you meditate on open, unclouded sky, suddenly you will feel that the mind is disappearing. The mind is dropping away. There will be gaps. Suddenly you will become aware as if the clear sky has entered in you also. There will be intervals. For a time being, thoughts will cease, as if the traffic has ceased, and there is no one. In the beginning, it will be only for moments, but even those moments are transforming. By and by, the mind will slow down, bigger gaps will appear. For minutes together, there will be no thought, no cloud. And when there is no thought, no cloud, the outer sky and the inner become one. Because only the thought is the barrier. Only the thought creates the wall. Only because of the thought, the outer is outer and the inner is inner. When the thought is not there, the outer and the inner lose their boundaries. They become one. Really, boundaries never existed there. They appeared only because of the thought, the barriers. To meditate on the sky is beautiful. Just lie down. But you forget the earth. Just lie down on your back, on any lonely beach, on any ground, and just look at the sky. But a clear sky will be helpful. Unclouded. And just looking, staring at the sky, feel the clarity of it, the uncloudedness, the boundless expanse. And then enter that clarity. Become one with it. Feel as if you have become the sky, the space. In the beginning, if only you meditate on the open sky, anything else, intervals will start appearing. Because whatsoever you see enters you. Whatsoever you see stirs you within. Whatsoever you see pictures reflect it. You see a building. You cannot simply see it. Something immediately starts happening within you. You see a man, a woman, you see a car, anything you see. It is not just outside. Something has started within, the reflection. And you have started reacting to it. So everything you see molds you, makes you, modifies you, creates you. The without is constantly related with the within. To look in the open sky is good. Just the expanse is beautiful. With no boundaries there, your own boundaries will disappear because the no boundary sky will reflect within you. And if you can stare without blinking your eyes, it will be good. If you stare without blinking your eyes, because if you blink your eyes, your thought process will continue. Stare without blinking the eyes. Stare in the emptiness. Move into that emptiness. Feel that you have become one with it. And any moment, the sky will enter within you. First you enter into the sky, and then the sky enters you. And there is a meeting. The inner sky meeting the outer sky. In that meeting is realization. In that meeting there is no mind. Because the meeting can happen only when the mind is not there. In that meeting you are for the first time not your mind. There is no confusion. Confusion cannot exist without the mind. There is no misery. Because misery also cannot exist without the mind. Have you observed this fact any time or not? That misery cannot exist without your mind. You cannot be miserable without your mind. The very source is not there. Who will supply you this misery? Who will make you miserable? And the same is true from the opposite direction also. You cannot be miserable without your mind, and you cannot be blissful with your mind. The mind can never be the source of bliss. if the inner and outer sky meet and mind disappears, even for a moment, you will be filled with a new... The quality of that life is absolutely different. It is life eternal, uncontaminated by death, uncontaminated by any fears. In that meeting, you will be here and now, in the present. Because past belongs to thought, future belongs to thought. Past and future are part of your mind. Present is existence, it is not part of your mind. This moment doesn't belong to your mind. The moment that has gone belongs. The moment that has to come belongs to your mind. This moment never belongs to you. Rather, you belong to this moment. You exist here. Right now, here. Your mind exists somewhere else, always somewhere else. Unload yourself. I was reading one Sufi mystic. He was traveling on a lonely path. The way was deserted. And he saw one farmer with his bullock cart.